We start the journey today in the Huon Valley, where a handful of vineyards have left their fruit on the vines as tests confirm smoke taint from the January bushfires has ruined the vintage this year. Growers on either side of the Huon River have not harvested this year, and a devastating blow for the region. Jim Chaddo has vines overlooking Glaziers Bay. He told Fiona Breen the hope was lost once he tested the grapes in a small ferment.
These grapes look perfectly good, and that's the heartbreaking thing, to know that we can't use them.
Well, how do you know?
Well, firstly, we've done some testing, so analytical testing, with both the Australian Wine Research Institute and La Trobe Uni, and the numbers there tell us we've had significant exposure to smoke. And then I've done some microferments now, and they're horrific. They smell like Lapsan Souchong tea.
Because you were saying before, if you taste them now, you can't actually taste smoke.
No, look, some people can, I think, but I don't. They look and taste like my Pinot Noir does in a good year. That's that's the hard thing as well. It's probably one of our better crops, both in good quantities, nice even quantities, but also in flavour.
So it had been an okay year for growing?
It would have been a great year for us, I believe, yeah.
You were happy with how everything was going. So a complete shock for you, I suppose, when the fires came.
It was. I came out of the wilderness in New Zealand into phone range to news of the fires and lots of messages from both Paul, who helps us look after the vineyard, and my wife Daisy as well. So, yeah, it was a bit of a shock, and I got back as quick as I could.
Well, you've long been a winemaker and working as the group winemaker for McWilliams Wines. You have a lot of experience in the industry. Did you come across this sort of thing before?
Oh, look, I've come across bushfire issues in different regions around Australia and varying degrees of taint. But I guess for me, this is the first time it's been my own crop.
And where were you at in terms of the business?
Our business is small, but it's growing and it's getting better every year. We made the move back to Tasmania a couple of years ago, nearly 2.5 years ago now. Our little farm project here is very quickly becoming our major business or source of income for our family. So it's becoming really important to us.
So how do you cope with losing your crop for this season?
Well, the initial reaction was, what are we going to do? We're really worried about that. Luckily for us, friends in the north of Tasmania reached out to us and have helped us either providing grapes or connections to get some grapes. So we've managed to make some wine and we'll stay in business. It's not quite the same as our own crop, but certainly keeps us in the game, which is great.
How many hectares do you have here, and how much do you think you've lost?
Look, we've lost our entire crop. It's probably 8 tonnes. So, in the scheme of things, we're tiny. But we are a value-adding business. So we make wine here on the property too. And then we sell most of our wine directly. So if we did nothing, it would be our year's income just about. But the fact that we've made other wines will mitigate that a fair bit.
It's April now and you've obviously still got your crop on the vines. What do you do next?
Well, we've now got to pick it to compost it. So that's another cost. It costs us about $4,000 to get this crop off, to spend that money and put that effort in to basically compost it. I haven't dealt with that yet.
That's the next step, and that won't be an easy time either.
Look, I'd come to terms with it back when the fires happened. We'd lost the crop, but I did make a little bit of wine for a friend who just wanted to have a crack at it recently, and it looked so good in the fermenter when we first crushed it. I sort of went to bed that night quite positive and thinking, oh, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. The next day when I took the cover off the fermenter and smelt it, it was that moment of acceptance, I guess, where you realise that it is lost and there's nothing you can do.
From the grape, where you don't get much of a sense of that smell, to having it fermented, it really was that strong.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, a lot of the smoke chemicals or compounds become locked to sugar in the grapes, and once you start the fermentation and the sugar is converted to alcohol, that releases them and they become volatile. Plus, they change during the process as well, so it becomes dramatically worse after fermentation, and then with time, it appears.
What was your experience with the scientific testing?
One positive out of all of this is Tasmania now has some of the best data in measuring smoke in the atmosphere to the compounds in fruit, and then now we're going to be able to layer in the compounds in the wine and sensory on the wine as a predictive tool for, future events.
What is the future for Chaddo Wines down here?
And I guess another silver lining is this has forced me to enact my sort of future business plan, which is growing outside of our own small farm and getting grapes from other good growers across Tasmania. So it sort of forced my hand to do that. And in that, we've sort of grown our business and diversified our business, so we've taken a lot more of the risk out of it, so that, you know, come 2020, 2021, our business will be actually twice the size. So that's a positive out of all of this.
Winemaker Jim Chatto talking to reporter Fiona Breen about the effects of bushfire smoke on the vineyard overlooking Glaziers Bay in the Huon Valley. Paul and Gilly Lipscomb have left their grapes on the vine as well after tests confirmed very high levels of smoke taint in the grapes. The blow comes as the couple are preparing to open a wine tasting centre in Signet. Fiona Breen caught up with the couple at their Sailor Six horse vineyard at Craddock in the Huon Valley.
Down here we've got 6.5 hectares of vines. We've just planted another hectare and a half this year, and it's 4.5 hectares of Pinot and 2 of Chardonnay. And then we've got some more Pinot clones and more Chardonnay clones going in on the new block.
And it was looking like it'd be a great year.
Yeah, I mean, we bought the vineyard in 2010, and it's been a process of resurrecting it from its pretty dilapidated state. I think our first release was the 2013, which was in 2015. Because we were only working with a limited number of vines then, we only had like 500 cases coming out of the vineyard at that point. And so over sort of 13, 14, 15, a similar sort of scenario. And then some of the younger vines started coming online in 16 and 17 and 18. And so we've just nudged up to sort of 1,000 cases. And this year was looking like, you know, we were probably going to get maybe 30 tonnes out of the vineyard. We've just sort of done a yield sort of assessment, and that would have been the most that we'd have got. So that would be about 2,000 cases, but unfortunately not to be.
Did you sort of suspect that you might be in trouble once the bushfires started sort of in the south of the Huon area?
My first thought was smoke more than anything. So a lot of people will say, you know, if you're pre-veraison, so before the grapes change colour, that you're pretty safe. Like, there's a low risk of smoke taint at that point. I guess that's not really well understood, that whole process, and how it's uptaken into the grapes and then translates into the wine. So even at that stage, it's still a worry for us.
So, Gilly, you obviously recall that. Did you just sort of hope at the beginning that smoke wouldn't affect the grapes, or was it pretty obvious right from the start?
As the days kind of continued and weeks and the severity of the smoke across the vineyard really grew, I think we're pretty sure that we're going to have some major issues. So I don't think we could have escaped that.
Did you send grapes away as soon as you could to get tested?
We did send some fruit away immediately to get smoke analysis, to get compounds tested to see what was in the fruit. We also were really lucky to have some great research being done by people like Ian Porter through La Trobe University, and he came down and did some measurements of the smoke levels in the area, and then did a lot of testing on fruit as well.
So how bad was it?
I think AWRI said the levels were the highest that they'd seen come through that they'd ever tested. So very, very high.
A devastating decision to decide not to pick.
We knew that this is what was going to eventuate. So we're sort of, it's not necessarily devastating in an emotional sense, because you had quite a long time to process that information. You know, when you've been, you know, resurrecting somewhere for 9 years, there is that sort of, you know, and you're going to have your biggest year ever, and the quality of the fruit was amazing. It's sort of all those things, and especially, you know, probably over the last 2 years, we've just been setting up the business to properly fund itself and to really sort of springboard now into the future. And so something like this kind of sets you back a few years.
Gilly, where does this take the business now?
We're just getting to a point where maybe we're going to pay ourselves a bit of a salary from this and maybe make a bit of a living out of it. So it is a difficult situation. We're also in the process of setting up a new winery and tasting room down in Signet, which we've bought all the equipment for and so on. So to have all of that sitting there unused for a vintage is also difficult to carry those costs. But it's a solid business. We still have the vineyard. You know, and that's a really big positive as well, because there are times there when you started to worry that maybe we'd be fighting the fire on this side of the river. We've been lucky to have lots of support too from other growers in the state. We've been able to buy some fruit from other people in the north of the state, and people who would otherwise not normally sell fruit, making that available to us and being able to pick a ton up from here and a ton up from there. So, you know, it's a big step backwards. But, you know, you've got to keep going. So
that's Gilly Lipscomb, and along with partner Paul at their Sailor Six Horse Vineyard in the Huon Valley, talking there to Fiona Breen. And despite the loss of this year's vintage, the pair say they're positive about the future and will go ahead with the planned wine tasting centre at Signet.